So dominating discussion out here in D.C. right now is infrastructure, and it's so important to Indiana being the crossroads of America. It's been belabored, I think, a lot longer than the administration was hoping. And they put a marker out there that infrastructure is now described much, much more broadly, and said that they'll spend $3.5 trillion on soft infrastructure, on stuff that never in the past has been defined as that. So the bipartisan bill, which looks like it's getting close to where we might be able to read it, I'm not sure how that's going to fly, because they're basically coupled. When we know that we're going to spend $3.5 trillion through reconciliation, that tells us that they're basically linked. This is so much federal spending, and for me, defending our country, the military, which I generally hold accountable, vote against it because it doesn't let us budget well, doesn't subject itself to audits. Infrastructure would be arguably number two. And again, we're having very soft pay-fors, and it's in the context that since the time I've been here in the U.S. Senate, we've added about $10 trillion to our debt, and this will add even more. So that bothers me for future generations.
Before we get started, can we have everyone mute their phone if you're not talking? I got a little feedback here while the senator was talking.
Okay. This is Zach, Senator Brown's office. We have 10 outlets on the call. We're going to go in order of RSVP, and we have time for one question and then a follow-up. Fox 59, do we have Kristen?
Good afternoon, Senator. Thanks for taking our questions.
My pleasure.
Tell me, on regarding infrastructure, is there still room to move forward with this deal?
So I just heard today that there has been some kind of an agreement. It'll boil down to whether for most Republicans to come along, how you're going to pay for it. Right now, that is going to be probably the variable. Things like spending unspent COVID money would probably fit into that category. A lot of soft stuff. They talked about spending more of the IRS to collect more money. They're fiddling around with a ruling that lowered costs on drugs by advancing the discount from drug companies to individuals in pharmacies, counting now the fact that that is being messed with in the sense that it's raised Medicare premiums, and counting that as a savings. Those are in the weeds. That's not going to muster normal pay-fors, which would be public-private partnerships, raising user fees, and something that's very quantifiable. So it remains to be seen.
Do you share the same sense of optimism that President Biden expressed during the CNN town hall that the infrastructure package will be able to move forward in the Senate Monday?
Not really, because I think that until every one of us on our side of the aisle scrutinizes it closely about how hard the pay-fors are, and then how you get around the fact that we're going to have $3.5 trillion spent on soft infrastructure, which they've already said they're going to do, it's going to be too close to call.
Thank you. Kristen, ABC 21, Fort Wayne.
Hi there. This is Jasmine over at ABC. Wanted to ask about the rejection of Jim Banks from the January 6th committee. Wondering, you know, what is your reaction to that, and what are you hoping to see that committee accomplish?
I think when you're looking for a bipartisan commission on anything, and one side of the aisle has the ability to accept or reject, that's not very bipartisan. So I think Jim would be good to have on there. And the fact that he is not tells me that it's going to be constructed in a way that'll lose credibility. When it comes to a commission itself, the FBI has been investigating this from the day it occurred, has arrested over 450 individuals. And if our biggest law enforcement agency in the country can't put two and two together in terms of what happened, this to me has a lot of political overtone to it. And Speaker Pelosi has shown that by trying to have the ability to approve who would serve on it on our side.
Thank you.
Any follow-up, Jasmine?
No, thank you.
Thanks, Jasmine. We have Adam Marin.
Yes. Hi, Senator. I'm just curious. You know, a number of conservatives and on Fox News and also in Congress, including people like Steve Scalise, are being more open about their vaccination status as variants of COVID tamp up. I'm curious, have you changed your position on disclosing your own vaccine status?
And Adam, If not,
who is that helping?
So it's exactly the same as I've told you probably three or four times. I am glad Steve Scalise is saying he's going to get a vaccination. I've been on record from the get-go that you need to get one. When it comes to asking any one individual whether you've had it or not, I've told you that three or four times as well. So nothing has changed. Get a vaccination unless you've got a good reason not to. And I think, though, it's going to be questionable with variants and so forth, and the fact that so many others across the world, that's going to be our challenge, are going to remain unvaccinated, that we need to also turn our focus maybe on therapies and ways to remediate cases better than what we have. But at least here in the U.S., we got a large percentage vaccinated. I said that's been wise to do so from the get-go. Whether it's an individual responsibility to disclose whether you have or not, or to whether you get it. And no different from what I told you the other two or three times you've asked me about it.
Sure. I just think it's important for Hoosiers to be aware of what their public officials are doing in terms of the vaccination status. But moving on to my follow-up, what is your timeline for laying out whether or not you'll run for re-election?
My timeline is this simple. I said when I got elected the first time, I'd do two things. Be the senator that has kept most in touch with his constituents. I've done that by visiting all 92 counties in 19, in 20, a difficult year to do it. Already have 71 under my belt. And I also said I wouldn't run for more than one additional term as a senator. I'm going to take everything I've learned about being a U.S. senator, everything I've brought to this job, which is unique, much different from most U.S. senators. I've done a lot in the real world before I got here. And however I can deploy that experience and those skills, including being on a school board for 10 years, 3 years a state legislator, being the first Republican to start a climate caucus out here, to get a bill passed on that, be the loudest voice on trying to reform health care, I'm going to see where that can be best deployed, and I'll announce that when the time is right.
Thank you, Adam. WTHR? Okay, we'll move on and come back to WTHR, WIBC. Is that Chris?
Yes. Senator Braun, I'm just curious, if you were writing the infrastructure bill yourself, what would be the ideal? What would it look like?
The ideal would be very much what we did back in Indiana in 17. Hard pay-fors. We had the task of getting our share of funding in place when 70% of Hoosiers wanted better infrastructure, roads and bridges, and 70% did not want their taxes to go up. We, through Ways and Means and Roads and Transportation, got 48 out of 50 stakeholders to say we're for a real pay-for. I'm one of the most fiscally hawkish individuals here in the U.S. Senate. I was then as well. I view infrastructure as a tangible asset that if you have honest pay-fors, that's about as close as you're going to get to government doing something that you need and not trying to borrow the money from your kids and grandkids. Sadly, that's the modus operandi out here. It's everything we do, we borrow the money. That's a bad business plan. It doesn't work anywhere.
As far as the follow-up question, I'm just wondering if you hear any rumblings there in Congress about plans to be more aggressive with maybe some harder encouragement to make people get vaccinations.
So whenever it comes to government mandating whether you should be vaccinated, wearing a mask and all of that, I don't believe in it. I believe in individual responsibility, doing what most businesses did across our state, take it seriously. It's not something to say that it's not important. It's not going to be a challenge. It's going to be around for a long time. So when it comes, though, to forcing kids to get vaccinated, say when they go into grade school, I asked Fauci about that and Walensky just this week. Couldn't get a straight answer out of them. Parents should be the main stakeholders when it comes to kids and school, and when it comes to anybody getting a vaccination, it's smart to get one, but no one should be forced to or to disclose whether they've had one or not. That gets into too many other areas that don't make sense.
Thank you, Chris. Indianapolis Star, you got Caitlin?
Good afternoon. One question for you. There's a push from Indiana businesses for the Senate to pass the Equality Act. 100 signed on to a letter that was released today asking for senators to pass it. Do you, does this make you consider this act at all? Do you have anything in the act that you think would be important to pass, or are you still concerned about the context of the act?
So, good question. The Equality Act, along with the PRO Act, I just chaired that committee hearing. You ought to look at it in terms of what that means. It would completely dismantle a small business relationship with its own employees. It would not acknowledge that the gig economy is growing, that independent contractors need to have a status. And I've been an outspoken CEO as we need to raise wages. It was happening pre-COVID. So Equality Act, the PRO Act, the For the People's Act, it is a big attempt to take a federal imprint and footprint it upon the states, and I don't think that's the way to go. If this place was knocking it out of the park in general, it'd be different. So I will not be a supporter of the Equality Act. I am for equal opportunity. I'm for higher wages. I'm for all the stuff that's embedded in a lot of this crazy federal legislation that's out there, just not done through the federal government. This place has not done a good job spending money over the years or enacting policy that needs to happen from the top down.
Just to clarify, the provision that they're interested in is the LGBTQ protection provision. What are your thoughts on that specific?
So when it comes to any of those rights and protections, I'm not for taking it any further than what we've currently got out there in law. And I believe that most of that has been working pretty well as it is regulated and legislated upon in the states. And if anything is out of line, it'll get into the court systems, which then should be the adjudicator of it. When it comes to enacting more federal legislation on any of these subjects, until this place, the federal government, can prove that they're the place where that needs to be done based upon how they're going to pay for it, if it has any cost, or that they've produced results in the past, I'm not going to be for it, generally.
Thank you, Caitlin. WEHT, WTVW in Evansville.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate this. Going back to the infrastructure bill, do you have a magic number in your mind? If the bill gets down to this much, I'm for it. Anything above that, I'm opposed to it.
So it's going to boil down to not necessarily the amount, although I can't stress enough how much money we are spending and borrowing it from our kids and grandkids. The infrastructure is needed, even more broadly, rural broadband, water and sewer treatment plants. I'm one that believes there needs to be skin in the game by the states, maybe a little more than what traditionally happens. Indiana's a place that has a good balanced budget amendment that lives within its means, maybe should be awarded more federal dollars than our neighbor to the west, or say New York or California, that you know, embraces spendthrift policies in their own state government. Infrastructure for me is if they do not have squishy pay-fors in it and they're honest and they don't use gimmicks like we're going to get the money 6 to 10 years down the road, I'm going to be very amenable to seeing it go through. I just don't think that's going to be the case.
And when you say hard pay-fors, are you talking about possible tax increases? And if so, where would you stand on any tax increases? Where would you say, yes, this is a good tax to increase, and no, this is not appropriate to increase taxes for infrastructures?
Well, so I can reacquaint Hoosiers with what we did back in 2017. Most of our road improvements across the state were borne by businesses with the increase of 20 cents in a diesel tax. The gas and diesel tax has not been increased since 1993 out here. We need to be taxing electric vehicles. We did that in Indiana, I think, to the tune of $150 a pop. Those are hard pay-fors. Public-private partnerships. The private sector has got a good balance sheet. The balance sheet here at the federal government, we lose 23 cents on every dollar we spend currently. So all of that stuff needs to come into play. Hard pay-fors, offset something else, use unspent funds that sit in some federal accounts. Those are tangible. Those would fall into that category of real, not fake math.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Warren. Wayne 15. Okay, we'll come back to you. WSBT. Do we have Wish?
We do. Senator, it sounds to me like your objection on the infrastructure bill is the pay-for and no specific pay-fors. I know this was before necessarily your chance to vote. How does this pay-for in the infrastructure differ from a Trump tax bill where they said, well, the booming economy will pay for it?
Well, two different subjects, but the booming economy was working pre-COVID. I, of any senator, would probably know that better because I'm freshest off the street. Everything was working, including raising wages. It wasn't perfect, and there was nothing I saw, even from the White House, that looked like they were going to be budget-minded. There was a difference between me and a few other senators and most of the rest of government out here, including the White House, because there was no attention paid to our structural deficits, $1 trillion a year. So I think that going forward, whenever we can get a hard, definable pay-for, it's better than not. And how you can explain to the American public with the $4 trillion that we spent, maybe arguably out of necessity, dealing with the uncertainty of COVID, probably a lot of that wasn't necessary, and now you're adding another $6 trillion to that, and you're basically going to be borrowing every penny of it. A lot of the tax proposals are there to, knowing that most Democrats wouldn't be for many of them, and then blaming it on the Republicans for not doing it. And that would only put a small dent in the normal deficits that we incur here. So I'm looking at this on its own merits, and we'll see what we come up with. I doubt it's going to have that hard pay-for constitution that many of us are looking for.
One quick follow-up, if I may, on another topic. Indiana has obviously seen some unemployment issues over the last couple of weeks, the court fight over the expanded federal benefits. We continue to hear from people who are being told they have to repay $8,000, $10,000, $12,000 in overpayments. When we talked to Congressman Carson last week, he says he believes the unemployment program is broken and needs to be fixed. You were a business owner. Do you share that view?
I don't know what he thinks is broken about it. I'm nearly certain he's for the extended unemployment benefits. And unemployment benefits are there for a purpose. And they got put on steroids due to the COVID crisis. There was a lot of uncertainty there. Many of us thought that they shouldn't have been at the level that they were at, but needed to be enhanced. Extended into a recovering economy is, I hope, something that he's not for, but I kind of get the feeling that he would be. Those expire in September anyway. There were lawsuits. Indiana was one of them. When we tried to refuse the federal benefits, I think we're now being forced to accept them. That is the number one issue in traveling the state that I hear more often than any, with all the jobs needed out there, can't get people back to work, where the federal government's competing with employers. And I think Representative Carson is actually for that. And I think that'll be proven to be a mistake once all this gets debriefed.
Okay. Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Brady. To follow back up on WTHR, do we have Kyle? We have WSBT in South Bend. Is there any other outlet on the call who are SWPed who we haven't heard from? Okay. Thanks, everybody. Thank you to the Senate Republican Conference for hosting, and we'll follow up with the full clip to everyone.